This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with the man who originated The Biggest Loser several years ago, Dave Broom. He's also the man behind the news show, The Briefcase. But first, two major professional sports leagues came to a close this week. The Golden State Warriors defeated LeBron James and the Cavaliers of Cleveland for the first championship they've won in 40 years. Their first title since 1975 happened this week after they took control in the second half as they beat Cleveland 105-97 in Game 6, winning the series 4-2. Stephen Curry scored 25 points for Golden State. LeBron scored 32 points for Cleveland in that losing effort. And the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are over. The Blackhawks win their third cup in 6 years. Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane scored goals in Game 6 to help Chicago defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-0 and win its third Stanley Cup in the past half dozen seasons. The Blackhawks are the first team to win 3 Stanley Cups in a 6-year span since the Detroit Red Wings did it in 1997, 98, and 2002. It's the first time the Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup on home ice since 1938. They won the Stanley Cup in 1961, 2010, and 2013 while on the road. The Blackhawks won the final 3 games of the series and handed the Lightning their first 3-game losing streak of the entire season. Certainly coming at the most inopportune time. And in baseball, the FBI and the Justice Department launched an investigation into whether the Houston Astros got hacked by front office officials with the St. Louis Cardinals. Player personnel info, scouting reports, and internal trade discussions were all said to be compromised in the hack. The feds continue their probe, but no heads have rolled at the Cardinals, and no individuals have been named suspects at this point. Former NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams has reached a deal to remain employed by the network after his 6-month suspension ends in August. Williams would be reassigned to a new role at the network. Lester Holt, who's been filling in as the anchor of the Nightly News during Williams' suspension, is expected to permanently take over. It's not clear what Williams' new job will be, but some reports say he'll end up at MSNBC or take a role similar to Ann Curry after she was booted from the Today Show. NBC signed Williams to a $50 million deal last year. The scandal erupted in February when Williams said a helicopter he was on had been hit by enemy fire and forced down in the desert in Iraq in 2003. Veterans from the convoy challenged Williams' story, and the anchorman recanted the story the following Wednesday after Stars and Stripes wrote a story about their online exchange and interviewed Williams and the veterans. Let's talk about The Briefcase on CBS this summer. It's the brainchild of Dave Broom, who's now a very successful TV executive, but he started his broadcast career in radio.
That would be me. Mike, how's it going?
Yeah, you made a great transition. My goodness, you've kind of taken over reality TV.
Well, I'm doing fine, but I'm very proud of my radio heritage. I loved every minute of it.
Terrific. Well, let's talk about The Briefcase. Give everybody an explanation, you know, the synopsis when you pitched this to the network as to how this would work.
Okay. Well, look, I make transformational television. You know, those are the kind of shows I like to make. I'm the creator and executive producer of The Biggest Loser. I make lots of shows like that. The Briefcase, I wanted to do a show that dealt with values and what matters most in your life. And I used, like, a lottery ticket as a jumping off point. We've all had that dream of wanting to scratch that ticket off one day and win a bunch of cash. So I thought, well, what if we had this opportunity to really delve into people's lives and really show the human spirit? And that's how I created the show. I break the fourth wall as the executive producer. I'm on camera on The Briefcase, and I show up at a middle-class family's home, and I give them $101,000 cash, and they've got to make a decision. And that decision is, I tell them the money's theirs, but they can keep all of it, some of it, or none of it. Whatever they decide that they might not want to keep is going to go help another family who also needs money. And what they don't realize at that time is the other family was also given a briefcase with $101,000. They're actually contemplating sharing money with each other. So it's an amazing social experiment. It puts you in that space. And I think it probably immerses the audience unlike any show. And you know, look, we're the number one show over the last 2 summers. The audience loves it. The media can't stand it. It's been mischaracterized. I think they've used the show. A lot of the critics have used the show as a personal or political agenda. They basically have said that we've pitted poverty-stricken families against each other. And anyone who's seen the show or knows what these families earn and knows what the spirit of the show is, they don't get it. They just don't understand that at all, because that's just not the case. My intention is basically to, if you watch these episodes, you know that the money has very little to do with what the show is about. It's about love and compassion and communicating with your partner in your life and ultimately finding a common bond with a stranger. You know, the premiere episode, two families unknowingly gave each other $100,000 each. It's a goosebump moment. Last Wednesday's episode, we took this wonderful Christian conservative Texas family, who make, by the way, $73,000 a year, and they learned about the life of an equally wonderful interracial lesbian couple in Boston, who make $135,000 a year. Can you imagine the conversations they take place over the course of that hour? Have nothing to do with money.
How did you come up with the amount of money in each briefcase?
I wanted the $101,000. First of all, the $1,000 on top of it is for theirs to spend right away, to do anything they want with it. They're really making a decision on the $100,000. And I wanted $100,000 to be the number because it's enough to be able to help change your life, but not set you up forever. It's not like winning millions of dollars in a lottery, and it's not like too little that it can't do something for you and for someone else. So it just, you know, the average household income in this country is about $50,000 a year. So I wanted to double that.
You talking to us, is that part of your campaign to try to explain it?
Yesterday, I was actually supposed to go on CNN. We got bumped because I think Donald Trump decided to run for presidency. But there was also a piece that went out for the first time on the AP Newswire that did a full article on not just me, but most importantly on the families that have been on the show. And the article said, don't believe the critics. And by the way, I've done radio now for 3 weeks. Every single jock in this country, I've been on every market you can imagine, has basically said, don't listen to what you're reading. That is not what this show is about. And the fans, you know, we're reaching 5.5 million viewers every single week. We're the number one show in two summers. The fans, they don't understand. This is a classic disconnect between mainstream media and the critics who've got, you know, a political agenda attached and what an audience really wants and can relate to. I think I've got every single DJ in the United States, every morning show, every talk, they're wanting to sign up for season two.
It'd be your way of paying back radio for your early start, right?
Yeah, why not? I tweet live during the show. I'm at Broome 88. It's Broome 88. I'd love to hear from the audience. I'd love to engage. It will give you goosebumps, I promise.
And how about next week? Can we look forward to next week as well?
Let me see. We moved the episode around next week. Next week's episode is pretty special, and that we're going to be on next Wednesday, and then we close out on Friday. So, look, we have three more episodes to go, and we've held, I think, the best three for last.
Well, Dave, thank you so much. Oh, by the way, it says you're a native New Yorker. Whereabouts in New York?
I am. I was born in the Bronx. And I grew up in New Jersey. I lived on Long Island. I went to Hofstra University. So I've kind of circled, you know, the New York area. I come back a lot. And my best friend in my life since I was a child was there, and all of my buddies are still there.
And how about The Biggest Loser? After 17 years, what do you think you've accomplished with that show?
A season, 17 seasons. I've been on about 11 years.
Right.
I think we've brought a platform that hasn't been to obesity in this country and around the world, for that matter. I have the show in about 130 territories around the world. You know, when I first created the show, people on the networks told me, Dave, nobody wants to see a bunch of fat people sweat on television. And literally in those words, by the way. And, you know, I think that up until that point, you would see just unrelatable people on reality television, you know, stick figures, models, gorgeous, you know, Barbie and Ken dolls. But that show put a mirror in front of Americans, said, hey, this might be you. Be inspired by it. And I think it's changed a lot of lives. And, you know, I'm really, really proud of it. It's a very, it's a heck of an accomplishment to what it's done for people around the world.
And of course, the title "Biggest Loser" is like probably the best title ever.
Yeah, you know what? When I came up with that, I had a difficult time in allowing having NBC wanting me to keep that title, because they were so worried that it's obviously the last thing that the show is about as far as the image. But I purposely wanted to do that, because if I call the show, lose weight, be inspired, you know, the soft titles don't get people's attention. So I wanted to take The Biggest Loser, because that's what people ultimately want to be when they get on a scale, and I wanted to pull the rug out from the audience and say, hey, see, you think this show might be about mean spirit, but look, in fact, it's quite opposite. And that's what you have to do today to break through. Yeah, it's funny where people, you know, have embraced it, and they say it, and they want to own it, and that's a great thing, you know. And yeah, you have to do that today, you know. Otherwise, weight loss feels like it's just a daytime talk show subject, you know, something that Oprah would do. But how can you take it and make it feel like a big primetime competition series that can really change people's lives?
Well, Dave Broom, thank you for a couple of minutes. All the best on The Briefcase.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
With Dave Broom of The Briefcase and The Biggest Loser, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Bikers intent on building bikes or simply replacing worn parts on their own need to know about half-price swap meets. Turn any Saturday swap meet into a 50% off bonanza. The swap meet secret. Get half off at swap meets today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Motorcycle parts culled from otherwise beat up, torn apart bikes. That bike may be DOA. Most of the original parts are in good shape. Aside from carefully inspecting part quality, it might not be a bad idea to just arrive later in the day. Fenders are packing, preparing to break down the table. That's when you make your 50% off move.
All right.
And if they say no, there's always another swap meet. American Biker Minute. Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He knocked out Joe Frazier in 73 to become the world heavyweight champion. In 94, at age 45, he knocked out 26-year-old Michael Moore to win his second world title.
The winner, and once again, heavyweight champion of the world, George.
So where is George Foreman now? George's lean, mean, low-fat grilling machine has sold over 100 million units to date. And talk about a family man, George has 10 kids. Today, George can be found on his 300-acre ranch in Marshall, Texas. And on that ranch, he has some horses, along with goats, llamas, ostriches, and donkeys.
I'm George Foreman, and I've achieved the American dream.
Hey, George, grill me up a lean, mean ostrich burger. Thanks. I'm Ahmad Rashad.